I'm going to start reading from Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, and then we'll pray one more time together, and then we will dive in to the Word. Listen to the Word of the Lord. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the water subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated, and in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. And at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. And so in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your church and to see and to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you would use our time together for your glory and for our good, that we would be stirred up in our affections for you. Father, we are tired. Would you give us strength to listen well, to apply your word to our hearts? We need your Spirit to do that work in us. Father, I pray for our partners in First Baptist Church of Kershaw. I pray as they, for their elders, as they continue to shepherd their church, I pray that you would give them wisdom, you give them a deep love, the love of Christ for the congregation, and I pray you would work in the congregation to love one another, to trust their elders, to follow you. Lord, I pray that they would be a bright light for the gospel in Kershaw and beyond there. And help us to be wise in how we can work together for your kingdom. Father, I pray for our children. Lord, would you save them from sin? Draw them to yourself. Would you use even the teaching happening right now, would you use the time in the nursery to do your work in their hearts, to stir them up, to see sin for what it is, to see your Son for who he is and what he's done. Father, I pray that you would give us as parents, grandparents, and as a church wisdom in caring for them and bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And Father, all Scripture is breathed out by God. So, Lord, please use your word to instruct us, to guide us, to rebuke us, to correct us so that we might grow in our likeness of your Son, Jesus. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On October 14th, 1987, 18-month-old Jessica McClure, who became known as Baby Jessica, fell 22 feet into a well while playing in her aunt's backyard. Now, immediately her siblings ran inside and told their aunt, who immediately called for help. Police, firefighters were there in minutes. But because of the well's narrow and precarious structure, rescuers could not immediately get her out. And she was stuck for 58 hours, having to wait. During the wait, rescuers were constantly talking to Jessica to keep her calm and to keep her conscious. And eventually, paramedic Robert Garza was lowered. They dug a hole and lowered him into the space beside her, and he whispered to her, "Hold on, Jessica. We're here. Your family hasn't forgotten you." And at 10:55 p.m. on October 16th, firefighter David Tankersley was able to carry out baby Jessica in his arms, and she survived. Church, God has promised to rescue us. In the meantime, hold on. God has not forgotten. In Genesis chapter 8, we're picking up the story off the heels of God's worldwide judgment through the flood. Everything has died except those on this boat. Noah and his family and the creatures of the new creation are right now floating on the waters of judgment in the story. And all they can do is wait. And this period of waiting for God to finally deliver them sets the pattern for how God will deliver his people throughout the history of redemption. So God rescues Israel out of slavery in Egypt after they were slaves for 400 years. God delivers his people into the promised land after they wandered in the desert for 40 years. God brings his people back from exile into the land after they had been in exile for over 70 years. And Jesus appeared to his disciples alive after they had seen him die on a cross, buried in a tomb, and waited for 3 days. God's people wait for rescue. And for believers today, we are caught between the first coming of Jesus that secured our salvation and the second coming of Jesus when he gathers us home and makes all things new. And so you and I, Christians, are waiting for Jesus to come back and to save us from sin and suffering forever. But in the waiting comes all sorts of temptation. Grumbling and complaining. Doubt or despair. And all of that can lead to unbelief. But church, God has not forgotten his promises. But in the waiting, it can feel like he has. The message for us today from Genesis chapter 8 is hold on. God has not forgotten. In this chapter, we get a picture of God's work to recreate everything, to start again and to restart his purpose for the world. But while we see God working, we see Noah waiting. He must wait in faith until God brings him in to the new creation. Noah has to hang on because God has not forgotten. Let's look together at chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. Now remember, we left last chapter with the flood at its peak. It's covering the mountains, and everything on the earth had died. open this chapter with that joyful coordinating conjunction. But God remembered Noah. Now, God does not remember because he has forgotten. God, by his very nature, cannot forget things. Friends, my wife is out of town. Who knows what I forgot to bring for my kids in the nursery right now? Who knows? But God does not forget like we forget. So what does it mean that God remembered Noah? Well, when the Bible says God remembers his people, it means he is now working to make good on his promises. That he is about to act in a saving way. And so what does God do? Look at verse 1. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. He sends a wind to blow over the earth. That word wind is the same word for spirit. The same word found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters at creation. Now God sends his Spirit again because he is the agent of new creation. And then, just like God separated the waters from the waters on day 2 of creation, he re-separates them here. Look at verse 2. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed, and the rain from the heavens was restrained. And so the waters receded from the earth continually. God closes the windows of the heavens and the fountains of the deep and separates the waters that he had crashed back down on creation. He turns the waters off so that the sky no longer just pours waters of wrath. And then, just like God made the land on day 3 of creation, God makes dry land reappear. Look at verse 3. The waters receded, and at the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. God brings dry land back. And it says the ark rests on a mountain. I think here we have a new Eden. The Garden of Eden was said to be on a mountain. A river flowed out of Eden, and that's where God lived with his people. Now, Noah, whose name means rest, feels something hit the bottom of the boat. And the ark comes to rest on a mountain. God is recreating his world and bringing his people to rest. And after the 10th month, the tops of the mountains are seen. God is making all things new. Why? Because God remembered Noah. That is, God is recreating the world because he's making good on his promises. And what is Noah doing? Waiting. Friends, what do we do while we wait for Jesus to come back? If you're taking notes, number one, wait, leaning on God's promises. Wait, leaning on God's promises. What promises is God remembering in the Noah story? What does he promise to Noah that he's working to fulfill now? Well, he promised to flood the earth, to save Noah, and to recreate the world. And church, he's promised the same thing, but in a much greater way in Christ Jesus. God has promised to one day judge the world again for wickedness. And yet, because he poured out his judgment on Jesus Christ on the cross in our place, he has also promised to save us. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." Paul then says in Romans 5, "Since therefore we've been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." So the promise for those in Christ is that we are reconciled to God now, and we will be saved from his wrath in the last day. In the meantime, hold on. God has not forgotten those promises. And take note, while Noah, in these first five verses, is waiting in the dark on the boat, God is the one recreating the world. Friends, make no mistake, God is always working, whether you feel like it or not. In your suffering, when it may feel as though there is no end in sight, when you do not understand why it's happening, cling to the truth. God is always working in ways you will not know until eternity. Right now, the ark window is closed while God is working all things for the good of those who love him. One day, he's going to call us out. In the meantime, cling to the promises of God like we have in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, "If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials." Brothers and sisters, if God saved Noah, he knows how to save you. Hold on. God has not forgotten. And a day is coming when Jesus will come back to snatch his people out, to bring us into the new heaven and the new earth. Right now, we cling to that promise. And then after 40 more days of waiting, Noah finally opens a window. Look at verse 6. "At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him." Remember in Genesis 1, on day 5 of creation, God, after separating waters and bringing dry land, he then creates birds to fill the air, to go to and fro on the earth. Well, in God's new creation, Noah now sends birds out of the window, and they're looking for life. So first he sends the raven. He goes flying to and fro over the earth, doesn't come back. I don't know why. Ravens are strange. But then Noah sends out a dove. And it says the dove flies around for a while, finds no signs of life, and returns to the ark. And so what does Noah do? Well, Noah does what he has been doing. He waits. And in 7 days, he sends the dove out again. Look at verse 10. "He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. This time, there's signs of life. There's a freshly plucked olive leaf in the dove's mouth. It was a clear sign to Noah that the waters had subsided, that God was bringing new life to his creation. And Noah still waits patiently on the Lord. Look at verse 12. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. Number two, if you're taking notes, what do we do between Christ's first coming and second coming? Wait, looking for signs of new life. Looking for signs of new life. Friends, Noah cannot bring new life. Only God can do this work. What Noah can do is look for signs that God is working. He can look for signs of God's new creation, so his expectations, his hopes are set correctly on what God is doing. While we wait for God to bring a new heaven and a new earth, we can look for signs of God's work so that our hopes are founded securely on the right things. So what are the signs of God's new creation work? Well, 2,000 years ago, a man from Nazareth came to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And when he came up out of the waters, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. In other words, friends, he is where new life is found. Church, the sign that God has promised to fix this broken world and is at work to do that is the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus. He dealt with our sin on the cross. He has dealt with the serpent. He has dealt with death. So right now, church, in your fight with sin, in your fight with pride that just constantly rears its ugly head, in your fight with contention among others, in your struggle with family, in your diagnosis that you can't wrap your head around, in your struggle as you see evil and sin and danger in this world, in your depression, friends, is your hope sitting firmly on not the circumstances around you, not even what's happening in the world, but firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the clear sign that God is making all things new. The Bible calls him the first fruits of the new creation. And now, beloved, because Jesus is the first fruits, the down payment of that new creation, of that promise of heaven for us, is the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When we come to faith in Christ, we are a new creation. Scripture says, "The old has gone, and behold, the new has come." So, friends, we're not looking for an olive leaf in a dove's mouth. We're looking for the fruit of the Spirit in our own hearts. Is our trust solely in the Lord Jesus? Does our heart long for the things of God? Is our heart broken over our own sin? Do we love the church? These are signs, friends. If those are evident in your life, these are signs that you are a part of God's new creation work. So hold on. God has not forgotten you. He is still working to pull the waters back and to usher in the new creation. Noah waits, clinging to these signs of new life. And then God finally speaks. Look at verse 13. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by families from the ark. After a full year on the boat, Noah finally pops the top off the ark. And what does he see? Dry land. New creation. And then he finally hears God's voice that says, "Go out from the ark." And just like God created the animals and people on day six of creation, so God brings man and animals out of the ark and says, "Welcome to the new creation." And then he gives the same command that he gave Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply. God is not done with people yet. God's still bringing his purposes to pass, to reflect his glory through people all over his world. And church, again, notice what Noah did. God said, "Go out." It says in verse 18, Noah went out. Noah waited in faith until God finally spoke, and as soon as God spoke, he followed. Friends, we too are waiting for God to speak that final word. And the Bible says it will sound like a trumpet. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Number three, wait, listening for the trumpet. Wait, listening for the trumpet. Friends, in our day, we want everything now. I mean, our culture treats convenience like a virtue or a right. So when the red light takes too long, we feel a fire in our bones. When the Wi-Fi is too slow, God forbid the Chick-fil-A drive-thru is backed up. Well, friends, we can be this way with God and with his work. We can so easily live the Christian life with the expectation that we have a right to heaven now. And then when we struggle with sin in our hearts, or we face suffering we can't fathom, we fall into despair or unbelief because this isn't all we thought it would be. Brothers and sisters, sober thinking means we recognize we have the down payment. We have reconciliation with God. We have our Lord Jesus Christ. We have his Holy Spirit, but we are not there yet. That trumpet has not sounded yet. And we are waiting patiently on God to send his Son back. Hold on. God has not forgotten. And friends, when the world least expects it, that trumpet will sound, and every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, and every knee will bow, and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. God has finally spoken and ushered Noah into the new creation. He will do that with us. And so Noah responds by offering worship. And then God makes another promise. Look at verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Noah walks off the boat and immediately takes those clean animals and offers a burnt offering to the Lord. And what is a burnt offering for? Atoning for sin. Friends, here's the problem that hasn't been solved yet in Genesis 8. God has judged the world. God has saved Noah by his grace. He has delivered Noah into the new creation to carry out God's purposes again, but Noah is still a sinner. His sins still have to be dealt with. And so he offers a sacrifice to God, and God smells the pleasing aroma, which means he accepts the sacrifice. And then God makes a promise to never destroy his entire creation by flood again. God is going to preserve his world so he can accomplish his purposes. But why does God make this promise? Look with me again at verse 21. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. He said, I will never again curse the ground because of man. Why will God preserve the world? For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. God does not say, I'm not going to destroy the world again because man is now righteous. Or because now humanity will finally obey in faith. No. God makes this promise because man is still wicked. Right, if God doesn't make this promise, he will have to flood the world again and again and again. Instead, he promises to preserve sinful humanity. Why? Because Noah is not Jesus. Because God will fulfill his purposes through his son. The end of this story in Genesis 8 leaves us longing for a better new creation, and for a better Noah. Someone who does not need a sacrifice for himself. Someone who can save more than 8 people, and one who can deal with sin deep within the human heart. One who can usher us into a new creation where sin does not reign, where suffering has no hold, where death does not have the final say. And so the end of this chapter leaves us longing for Jesus. Number 4, wait, longing for the Savior. Wait, longing for the Savior. Jesus did not need to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. Yet he was our sacrifice. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 2, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He has dealt with the penalty of our sin on the cross. He has sent His Spirit to make our hearts new, to break the power of sin in our own hearts, and one day He will come back to deal with the presence of sin once and for all. Church, we have 15 or so of our church family gone on a retreat. Do you feel we're missing half our heart? I hope you do. That kind of longing should reflect a deeper longing we have for Jesus to come and get us, to make good on His promises, to usher us in to heaven with Him. So, beloved, why does the world not implode right now? Because God is still gathering His people. Because He's still making people new by the gospel. Because He's still sanctifying His church. He's still establishing His kingdom. Hold on. God has not forgotten. Be faithful. Walk with the Lord in faith. Do the work of the ministry, and soon He will come back and make all things new. In October of 2016, baby Jessica, who was not a baby anymore, said this as she looked back at that incident. She said, "I had God on my side that day. My life is a miracle." Christians, right now, we're waiting on Jesus to rescue us, and there are hard days. Hold on. And in a million years from now, we will sit around the throne of God and we will say, God was with us every step of the way. Our life was a miracle to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, we praise You for sending Your Son Jesus to save us from our sin. We praise You for sending the Spirit to change our hearts. And we praise You that You are with us every day as we wait for You to send Your Son back again. Lord, stir up in us our longing for that day where sin is removed, suffering is removed, where we are made like Christ. We will dwell with You forever, and You will wipe away every tear from our eye. We praise You for that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.